Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines or Half Butt podcast for episode 10. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I have the urge to start singing Feeling Hot, but I didn't do it. Okay, I'm doing great, and I have resisted the temptation to ask you if you ended up going to the finale after party because I wanted to do it live. So did you go last week?
Can I get a drum roll?
No, because I feel like the answer is no.
The answer is no.
What happened?
I was going to go with a couple of friends. They all bailed. They didn't want to go. And I'm not, like, I like the challenge. I'm not a big enough loser to show up there by myself and, like, tag along with Johnny Bananas and be like, oh, hey, Johnny, it's me. And then, like, hang out with him all night. I'm not that much of a loser. So I did not go.
I love that you suggest in that hypothetical situation that Bananas would let you hang out with him the whole night. Like, you would dance the night away with Bananas.
I would try to, because he would literally be the person that I would know the most there.
Oh, well, that's sad. I wish you went. I feel like I know you have a good time.
That's why I didn't go.
You didn't go because
I didn't know anyone.
Oh, I thought you were just like, because it would have made me because I was like, oh, I wish you went. You're like, that's why I didn't go.
So it's a secondary benefit, despite making you unhappy.
Despite me. Okay, we have a couple corrections. Well, one correction and one point of upsettingness. You ready? Y'all ready for this? I'm very musical today.
It's Grease the Musical's on, isn't it?
Oh, it's being recorded.
Good job by you.
Thank you. That is your "you killed it" is when you say, like, good job by you, good job by him.
That actually is my phrase. Yeah, that's a good point.
It is. I like it. Good job by you. Kristen Marie pointed out on Twitter about the podcast, not that it really matters, which she said, I think it matters, which is why I'm talking about it now. I'm pretty sure Zach cheated when Jenna was filming Rivals 3, not Bloodlines. So apologies for my misplaced ranting last week.
It still fits better for the story that he was cheating on her when he went out there. So I don't like getting, like, facts get in the way. Let's stick with our stories.
But I appreciate the correction, Kristen. Thank you. And it does make, at least it, like, makes more sense. And maybe it'll be a point of, no, it won't. They're not going to bring Zach back for, maybe they will.
Maybe they will. Who knows?
Okay, and then thank you to Lindsay, Tilly, and Alex, who both sent us Jenna's tweet. Okay, so we were told to put Jamie in by both sides because he was 100% coming back because Mike had to leave. Either way, whoever went in was coming back.
Yeah, that's a super bummer.
Da fug. Are you kidding me?
That's really bad.
I'm like, sorry, Johnny Bananas just retweeted a tweet I was mentioned in, and I just got distracted. Okay.
Whoa, fangirling alley, oh boy,
no,
here we go.
No, I was like disgusted.
I'm going to send you a Bananas hat.
No, what, do you have a supply?
I don't, I only have a bobblehead. And actually, look, they're now sold out, so it's like, I have like a limited edition.
That would be incredible if you bought like 30 hats to then distribute yourself as like your own prize.
I should do that.
I'm going to send you a bunch of hats so that you can distribute them.
The Johnny Bananas sweatshirt is actually really nice. I just don't have it, but it is a pretty nice sweatshirt.
How do you know?
I've seen him. He tweets about it all the time.
You've seen it, but have you felt quality? You know, thread count? Like,
the quality is probably not
is it
best,
a blend?
Look,
is it a cotton blend?
The look is nice. The look is nice.
All right. So I already feel good about this one. But
the podcast or the episode?
The podcast.
Okay.
But when I feel good about it, you know, we never know. All right.
Just another correction, though. I think we were talking about who was Vince's partner for next season.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if someone sent it to us, but it's Vince and Jenna, right? Or did I just uncorrect the correction?
No, I'm going to roll with you on that. It makes no sense. Don't question yourself because you're wrong or right. Question yourself because it makes zero sense.
Okay, let me quickly try to see if I can find it in my... Because I thought that's where you're going with your corrections department. But if you could just talk for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, so I just want to go back for a quick second to Jenna's tweet. So basically what is being said here is that Mike had to leave for work. So, like, F all of his blog posts that were like, I had to leave at a moment's notice. I didn't know it was going to happen, blah, blah. No, you just left to go back to your job. Somehow that was communicated to you, unless you left with the understanding that if you weren't eliminated, you were going to quit at this point anyway, which is lame. And now we know why there were zero consequences to them throwing themselves into every elimination, because they were always going to come back. I mean, they're always going to leave anyway.
Yeah, and it's a great point about why he would even go out, unless it was like a work emergency. But like, if he knew like I had some certain thing to do at a certain date, I don't know why MTV would allow him to go on. I don't know why he would want to go on. The whole thing doesn't make sense. But the tweet actually came from Jenny Lee SK8 saying that it is Janet with Vince. So I don't really remember having a fight though this season, did they?
Well, no. I mean, I think it was Jenna like last week when she was like, Vince, I think you should go in.
That's the cause of rivals.
Well, we know nothing else can happen. In your words, they had people on for a Twitter feud.
Yeah, they did. They did.
This is really unprofessional. I have to go plug in my computer. So why don't you kick off the show?
So I can get out my coloring book so I can match up with what this episode started with, because we start with Jenna and Brianna coloring. And I think Jenna says the most beautiful dog ever. And so Rihanna walks in with her T-Mobile sidekick and gives the clue.
Is it just me, or was seeing paper shocking to you? Because after like all the Are You the One stuff, I was like, wait a minute, they're not supposed to have paper. And I was like, oh, this is a show with a format that makes even less sense.
Do you think they had crayons, or they had to like ask the producers, we're like so bored, can you please just get us crayons to do something?
I got nothing for you. could be.
Because I just can't imagine this like stocking this house. All right, we need the liquor, we need like cups, we need food, and make sure we get crayons just in case they want to draw at one point.
Can I make a really deep cut here? Or I'm gonna go out on a limb as usual, and it's gonna flop. You ever play the Harry Potter board game that had the like little snitch that gets blown up, or the quaffle or whatever? I'm not a big Harry Potter person, but like part of the game had an air thing that blew a ball up basically and suspended it like 10 inches in the air. And that's what Vince's like bar tricks made me think of.
That's what I didn't know what he was doing.
I think he played the Harry Potter board game and like wants to relive the nostalgia.
I cannot see Vince as a Harry Potter fan.
I just like that he can't adjust to like the scene. So it's like, now we're coloring and Vince is like still at the bar being like, want to see some magic?
He's so awful. Like every account.
Okay. So sorry. So this is interesting to me, because when you brought up Rihanna reading the clue, someone in the comments wrote like they even had a producer read the clue because thought that was good. They must do this every week where they read the clue and they speculate about the challenge. So I feel like if we see it, then there's a reason. So like obviously when Kara says like, oh, maybe it's a puzzle, then that was like pretty clear foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. And I thought a little also foreshadowing, Corey said he would have to carry Mitch. I thought it was just interesting that he was the one that's struggling, and then figuratively Mitch carried Corey. So
we got questions about that. So Joe Terso says, please just talk for at least 15 minutes about Corey talking about carrying his cousin right before the challenge.
At least 15 minutes, not 50 seconds.
This is how I know I'm starting to like really genuinely love Mitch, is that when Corey talks shit about him, I get irritated on his behalf.
If this was like a live show, like if this was Big Brother, this was live, I would say Mitch has become self-aware of the Mitch watch, but it's like a tape show, so I can't make that joke.
I mean, even though from past performance, the statement from Corey was fair, like I was still upset about it.
Right.
Really quick, we got the same stories before we head into the challenge as we've been for the last few episodes of Bananas, like, I keep having to save my own ass, and Kara wants to win, and Jamie wants, you know, she wants it bad. I want it for her. I feel like this started way too early for the payoff to be episode 10.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like the same thing that we see all the time with the Johns. They don't really know how to build storylines correctly. Sometimes they build them all and they combust in one episode, and sometimes it's the long con. But this was like kind of like they didn't really go head to head in a while. Like, when was last there that scene when Jamie was at the bar saying he's coming after Bananas? That was like two or three episodes ago, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily that they have been coming after each other. That's actually funny. It's like, yeah, their like opposition, whatever, their rivalry has been building and then kind of like just switched off. But I just mean in terms of like for the past 3-4 episodes, it's been like Bananas is going to go home today. Bananas is going to go home today. And Kara's going to win. And I just feel like exactly what you're saying, basically, about building they don't know how to build an arc. Like, I understand a winner's edit, but I want to see a story arc or make it the theme of one episode. But to just, like, hammer in these 1 point for over a series of 5 episodes, I'm, like, losing interest in.
It just seems like they only know how to pick, like, the winner's arc. Like, last season, the whole arc was Sarah doing this over and over again, always falling short and finally getting over the hump and winning. And it's kind of what they're doing again with Kara this time. And it seems, like, very clear that she's going to win this season. And the arc is her finally getting to a final, her finally overcoming bananas, her finally winning. And, like, every other story is just, like, discombobulated.
Yeah, and I get that. And there was – the thing is, though, is at least with Sarah and Jordan, there was an arc, like you're saying. Like, I feel like with Kara, it's really just, like, 1 point. Like, from day one, it's like, okay, I want to win today. Now it's like, all right, episode 12, episode 11, you win.
Mm-hmm. Or her just calling her cousin cuz.
Oh, we'll get to that. Okay, so the challenge – this
wait
is
for me.
Sorry?
Wait, I was just saying the name of the challenge. Wait for me.
Oh. I was like, are you not ready? Do you want me to
it was so putty, it threw you off.
TJ gives like a big opening spiel, like a professor at a midterm exam. Like,
right. It's this, like, is no joke.
This is going to identify what you need to work on. Like, if you don't have it now, you're not going to have it in a week.
Yeah, like, it was, so after the challenge, is Rihanna just going to get upper body strength? Is that just what's going to happen? Like, she goes and just picks it up at the store? Like, all right, guys, I'm good now for the final.
I was talking to someone this week who watches the show, and she was like, you'd think by how long Rihanna took on the monkey bar, she would have built up some upper body strength from just that process.
That's fair. Yeah, you would think.
Okay, so set up this is always one of my favorite challenges.
Yeah, I agree. I always like this one. It's basically, this seemed like more than a mini final. This seemed like a very good taste of a final, where each partner has to wear weight. If you're a male, you have to wear 70 pounds. If you're a female, you have 45 pounds, right? So one person wears the weight.
Did they say that? Because Kara said something different. I didn't think they said what the weight was.
They showed a picture of, as if you couldn't picture what bags of weight look like. They showed a picture of the bags of weight, and they had little arrows pointing 70. I think it was either 45 or 40. I don't remember. It was 70 and I think 45.
Because Kara, like, reported that it was 120 and 60.
So did they lessen it for the episode?
I don't know. It was, that's, let's so just weird, say it was roughly half as much for the women.
Right, yeah. So during one moment, the one partner is wearing the weight, and then we get to the checkpoint. The other person has to do the checkpoint, and then they switch, going all the way up a mountain.
This was, what was the season where the final was like assembling the monkey pieces and just running in a circuit?
Oh, that was the Rivals 2, right? When Wes and CT won.
That's what this reminded me of. Like, this could have, besides the fact that the checkpoints were so weak, like, this pretty much could have been a final.
It easily could have been a final, absolutely. It seemed as it was only missing, like, the part where you have to, like, jump out of a plane and swim. And then other than that, like, this was a final.
Can we talk about the equalizers here? Because I think they did a lot of work to try to make it fair as to be a co-ed challenge. And mm-hmm. I want to get your take on if you think it was enough.
I thought it was enough. I mean, I guess you could have, if you wanted to do perfectly fair, instead of just doing weight for men and women, you can do, like, percent of body weight, you could have done that. But I thought that, like, all the checkpoints, none of them were, like, so intense. Like they didn't have the a checkpoint where you have to, like, carry a body back and forth, like, 40 of them. Like, that would have been so impossible for, like, Jenna or someone to do. Like, these are all, like, were difficult, but, like, everyone has a fairly equal chance.
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty good that they, like, have to switch off, so you can't just have the stronger person carry you through it. That, like, okay, if Rihanna's the one that's going to struggle with the bag, and Nisa can't just, like, take it off and walk with it, so that it behooves them to have two, like, a really strong bananas on the team or whatever.
Right.
I thought it was a good mix of puzzles and physical, so that if you're strong in one area, you know, you have an opportunity to make up in other areas, if you're weak in an area.
Right.
But to your point, Brett Fahrenkopf asked, would it have been so hard to distribute the weight on the challenge based on the competitor's weight? Not all men are 2 times as strong as women. Seems like major laziness on the part of B&M.
Yeah, I mean, they easily could have. I don't think it would have taken, like, that much effort. You just have to, like, put the person's name on a bag. I don't know. That wouldn't have required that much, but who knows with them sometimes. One thing I do wish they could have done is it seemed like there were different lengths between each checkpoint. Like, some had, like, a much longer race between them and some were shorter. I wish, I don't know, maybe they did. I wish they gave them like a map of the area and they showed like which checkpoints were longer to like have them strategically plan out, okay, you should carry it here, I'll carry it here, or something like that.
Well, so that's what I was thinking. Well, before we saw how bad the checkpoints were, I was wondering if they were told in advance what they would be. Because I was like, okay, you have to at least be familiar with the rules. Like, on Survivor, mm-hmm. they explain the game, and we don't see right. that on television.
Right.
But I genuinely think they did make these so simple that they didn't need to do that. And then it was pretty much chance, like, whoever just started with the bag. Because I thought, I like that better, because I think that if you were able to put your stronger partner in first, the people who don't have that much difference between them are at a disadvantage, like Jenna and Brianna. I mean, I know Jenna is a stronger competitor, but it's not like the difference between Vinny and Bananas. So I think it would have given the weaker strong teams combos an advantage. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, it would have given them something else to think about. But they probably would, if they did, it's one of those things that they wouldn't show.
Right. Just
for a time saver.
Did you have a problem with Bananas calling Vinny Cuzzo? Or was that cool with you?
It's a weird move. I mean, I'm just so over hearing any type of cousin. Maybe because I don't really hang out with my cousins that much that I don't like say it that much. But like when I hang out with my brother, I don't say bro, brother. Like, I just call him by his name.
Sorry, like, what were those options?
Bro or brother?
I thought you were like brother.
Or brother. Like, I never call them that either. Like, I just call people by their name, not their relation to me other than my parents.
Fair enough. Okay. So, what was I going to say? Sorry. This is when Corey starts to struggle. What did you make of Corey's performance here?
I know they ended up winning, but this can't be good for Corey, like, post-challenge. Like, how does he come back now and try to gain clients to be like, oh, come to me and I'm going to train you? And then he's showing, like, the highlights of himself dying on the show.
Well, I think that's why he's moving into acting. And he's making a stint, maybe it was this weekend, as a DJ, too. Whoa. So he's already starting to get some resumes out.
I think, he sees the writing on the wall that his career as a personal trainer is over. It is funny that the two personal trainers, Corey and Vince, like, were the two worst in this challenge.
Well, show me Vince's credentials. I mean, I don't know that I buy that he's a personal trainer.
I like to see that data.
Just because you go to the gym and you maybe make exercises for yourself does not make you a personal trainer. Maybe he misunderstands the meaning of the job.
Definitely.
The thing about Corey here is... what was I just going to say? Oh, he says that he is like missing his ACL and that's what's holding him up. And like, fair, I feel that that's fine. But like, you're also throwing up. Like, that's not because of your hurt leg. Like, that would slow you down, but you throw up from exercise when you're out of shape.
Right. And he doesn't seem out of shape. Like, he seems like he should be able to do this. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't seem like he should be able to do this. This, of all the challenges, like, it seemed like this is the one that's like perfectly fit for him, that is like an endurance one with like strength, and he looks like he should be able to handle it perfectly. I was stunned at how badly he did.
I mean, big tree fall hard.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, that's why you don't see like marathon runners and like track athletes, whatever, like big behemoths, you know, like that's like strength, mm-hmm. that's muscle that weighs so much, and to move that around is really hard. I think that's why we see like Zach gas out, Corey gas out, you know, like if it was like moving those bodies back and forth, I think he would have been fine. If it was like brute strength, if he were in it last year where you had to like hold that rope to hold that open so you could see the puzzle, I think it would be fine. But I just think like that's a lot of weight to move around.
And it could just be like a shock to the system type thing where he like, for all like his training, like he's never probably pushed himself like this before. So maybe for a final, like now that he's done it before, his body's now more mentally prepared for it and he can actually do it.
Okay, so let's talk about that though, because we got a lot of questions about like, how do you not train for this? So Alicia J. Rosen said, don't they know a while ahead of time they're going to be on the show? Don't they train? How could these guys be so winded and this isn't even the final?
I mean, you have to train, but I don't know. I mean, sure, some of them don't like, they're training, like not training for the challenge. They're probably training just to like build muscle. And like you said, building muscle is not necessarily the best thing for this, because you want to be lean, you want to have endurance, and it's not cool to train and build up your endurance to climb a mountain. So that just could be where they struggle.
I mean, I think you should be running. Like, I think it's fair, and maybe he does, but this was just a lot. I mean, it's also like, the conditions, probably like no sleep, a lot of drinking. It's not the best situation for that. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you need to come more prepared than, let's say, Corey evidently did. But the people who do seem to be killing it here, Jenna and Brianna, start passing everyone, and they're really strong in all these, you know, the balance one, endurance, they're doing really well. Umberto, Daniel, Yerusha, Camargo asked, props to Jenna and Brianna. After Brianna not wanting to be there, do we see her coming back?
I mean, she was like written off very early by a lot of people, including me and including TJ. They showed a clip in that horrible like after show thing that was I have to stop watching after 10 minutes. It was just a highlight show of TJ basically saying to Brianna, like, some people are not cut out for the challenge. And here she is in a final or all close to a final and doing pretty well again. So, I mean, every week her chances of coming back, at least in my mind, keep increasing. But I mean, I still don't think it's great, but it's definitely a possibility now.
Just transitioning a bit to Rihanna on the monkey bars. Nick Sabetta wants to know, seriously, how could Rihanna not do those monkey bars? I feel like a 6-year-old could have done them easily.
Here's the thing about those monkey bars. Why were they so low to the ground? It seemed like it would make them a lot harder, right?
Like, they have to, I mean, like, something had to be hard. Something had to be difficult in this checkpoint. It was freaking 10 monkey bars. Are you kidding me?
It seems so. I couldn't even tell when someone screwed up because it wasn't like their height was changing.
Right.
Like, if they were on the monkey bars or not on the monkey bars, they were like doing the same thing.
I know. Just like, I mean, I get the fact that if you're carrying 100 pounds or 40, whatever it is, that your arms are weaker. So the monkey bars may be more difficult, but nobody seemed to have a problem with it. So I think these checkpoints were bullshit. That said, I mean, Rihanna calls her arms like melted butter, which just made me hungry, because if you combine like the noodly arms and the butter arms, you have a pretty tasty treat happening.
I just thought of Kramer roasting himself on the roof.
Delicious.
Yep.
Hey, buddy. So, I don't know. One thing I thought here, because we see Corey struggling and Mitch and Corey dealing with that, and Rihanna struggling on the monkey bars and Anissa dealing with her. I think this was a really interesting dynamic because you don't see the bloodlines like screaming at each other, which we've seen on other challenges. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting because typically you can like abuse your family more. Like, you come down the hardest on the people you're closest to. So right. I was kind of surprised we didn't see maybe Anissa get more frustrated with Rihanna. I don't see Mitch yelling at Corey, but
yeah, Mitch would never yell at Corey. Cause like he idolizes him. So that wouldn't happen. But I mean, Kara and Jamie did start to get into it at the puzzle, but all the athletic stuff, everyone was pretty calm. Like, even Bananas was pretty calm. I mean, they took some shots at each other, like, in the confessionals, but in the moment, like, we've seen a lot worse people have done to each other during these types of challenges.
Well, let's talk about Vince for a second, because Bananas tweeted, let me just pull it up here. Sorry for the delay. Gotta scroll through so many selfies. He wrote, gotta hand it to my cousin at Vinny Pig. This was hands down one of the most difficult challenges I've ever done, and the kid beasted it.
He did?
And it was? This was one of the most difficult challenges Bananas has ever done. It was monkey bars.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I giving him a bone, I guess. That I mean, he didn't do that well. I'm like, this was tough, but I mean, I think every final he's done had to be tougher than this.
Yeah, I thought that was like a stretch. Maybe he just felt bad that Vince is getting shit.
Hashtag Vince fail.
All right, so what's the ruling on Rihanna? Is this like the most pathetic performance ever?
it was really bad. I mean, I could feel for Anissa in that moment where she's just so frustrated and so frustrated. And I didn't think there would be a time limit. I thought they made these challenges so simple that it was like, if you guys just can't do it, you're just stuck here for the rest of the show. And I thought I wouldn't have had a problem with that, honestly, if they didn't even have a time limit.
Well, what was crazy is that they made it seem like Anissa and Rihanna had been so far ahead, and then everyone catches up, and it seemed like she'd been there an hour, and they're like, okay, 15 minutes is up. I was like, whoa, the editing got me.
Right. And even then, like, then all of a sudden Corey's able to catch up. Maybe it made me seem like this mountain wasn't as high as it seemed, because everyone was able to be pretty bunched together the whole time. And you would think it was like a really long, steep climb that it would be more spread out.
Yeah, no, it was the timing was pretty unclear, because then so they blow their whole lead and then they're able to make it up at the puzzle, because apparently this was the tangram from hell.
Yeah. It's no one's a puzzle person on this show anymore.
I mean, do you have to be a puzzle person? It's like shapes in the square. I used to do this like in elementary school, but I will say that like all the fellow nerds like me were like, this is so easy, I'm sure, screaming at your TV. And then it's like, give me a 20-pound bag and make me run, and I'd cry. So right,
that's the thing. Like, if you, I wouldn't even give these people the benefit of the doubt that they would get this normally. But when if you have to like run all this muscle, just, I'm sure their brains were just fried that they were probably seeing double of everything. So I can understand them struggling for a little while. But at a certain point, it's like, it's a 10-piece puzzle. And we saw in Survivor, like, that's not that difficult.
But like, to borrow from a future Survivor to contestant, Beast Mode Kara comes charging up with that bag. Right. How impressive was that?
That was classic Kara right there. That she was, I think she was almost like waiting for that moment, like the whole time where she would like kind of like show up bananas in that perfect moment. Cause she did. She like everyone else outside of like the first like couple minutes were like taking it really slow or collapsing. Kara just takes the bag and fucking blows past everyone. She was running past people who weren't even holding bags.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you say it's classic Kara. Like, this is like new Kara. Cause like, I think about Jenna and compared to Kara a lot recently, just in terms of like how Kara had such a weak start in the challenge. And then like throughout her time has like built herself up into be like a real competitor, and someone with like a social game. I mean, it's not good, but it's there. And so like, I'm thinking like in eight, well, she's done two. So now in six more challenges, are we going to not be surprised and call it classic Jenna when Jenna charges up a mountain?
It's hard. I still would be surprised because Jenna's been more impressive in her challenge performances at this stage in her challenge career than probably Kara was in her stage. So I guess it wouldn't be that shocking maybe to see Jenna being the new Kara in 4 years.
One thing I'm upset with here, a couple things. So first you said about Kara, I'm not upset. When you said that Kara is like out for bananas here and like shows him up, I feel like Kara and bananas both were like very, very revenge focused in this episode, and more so Kara throughout the whole season. And I want to put that on the table as why we ended up with the final that we had and bananas and Kara end up against each other and all of these noobs are able to skate by to the final. Do you think they spent too much time focusing on each other? Like, was Kara's target too much on bananas? Should she have maybe worked with him instead of every week trying to get him out or trying to take a hit at him?
I'm in the favor of the strong people trying to work together in the beginning. It doesn't behoove them to go against each other early on. Like, I mean, we saw like Wes, if Wes took over the Kara, well, they stay clear of each other for the time being, and then you take a shot. I didn't have a problem with Kara's game this season. I thought she, for the first few weeks, they had confessionals targeting each other, but they weren't actually doing anything to target each other. And I had no problem with her moves this season.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess I just feel like every scene, and this may just be the editing, that it's like we always get like this whole thing was like it was so important to Kara to just beat bananas, and it's like, well, maybe, I mean, I think she's still in a really great position, but I don't know that she did that on purpose, if that makes sense.
I get that. The reason I think that was not that big a deal is it's not like she was just trying to get up bananas, and bananas isn't even like a real threat. Like if bananas was like some weak little team and it was just trying to get rid of him for some spite, then it's like, oh, maybe she actually focused on like the stronger teams. But getting out bananas not only helps her in terms of like her revenge, but also helps her in terms of the game because he's one of the bigger threats for her.
Right. It wasn't like a Nani Dario situation where right, Dario exactly. had no real like pull.
Right.
Okay. And then this is the thing that bothers me is where is Corey's self-awareness here? Like when we get to the end and they end up winning, and I know he does give Corey, Mitch the credit. Where is Corey being like, wow, that really opened my eyes. I'm screwed for the final. I need to like start working a little smarter.
Yeah, there was no, he did not get humbled at all. It was all just celebrate. It was like the bizarro situation when they won the elimination, right? Like, I mean, Mitch won that elimination, but he only won it because Dario was a complete buffoon. So it was kind of like he doesn't know really when to properly celebrate and when to like actually be happy.
I mean,
with what they did.
Corey says we're looking good for the final. Are you kidding me? Like, you are arguably looking the worst for the final besides bananas and Vince.
Yeah.
Who are definitely not making the finals. Okay, so speaking of the final, Stephen Lean wants to know, half of the teams are totally gassed by that task. How are they going to survive an even harder course in the final?
I don't know. It's a good question. It doesn't look... It seems like we're destined for someone to quit this final.
That's interesting. That's why
they're setting it up.
Is that just because of the Brianna and Jenna thing?
It's just because of the I think just the quality of the teams. Like if Anissa and Rihanna are in a final, I would be flabbergasted if they finished at this point. Like how are they supposed to do these types of things?
Oh, when you said set up, I thought you meant like some editing or foreshadowing. I mean, it's like the teams who made the final are the teams who made the final, but
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the fact that Rihanna couldn't do that. First of all, Anissa was one of the best performers in this entire thing from what we saw.
Which was stunning.
So I'm not even going to allow you to say, like, how are Anissa and Rihanna going to finish it? It was Rihanna.
Right. But as, like, no, Jay Shalasha, all you need is one person to quit. And
no, fair.
And the whole time dealing with you.
I mean, that's why I think it's, and I tweeted about this, I think it would be so, so interesting to see them go as individuals. And yeah. Is Anissa going to, and I'm sure Rihanna would tell her to, like, leave Rihanna behind to try to move forward without her?
Yeah, because I mean, it would be really interesting if for all of Anissa's years on this show where, I mean, for all of her strengths, and endurance has always been like a weakness of hers. And if now, like on her whatever 10th, 11th season, if all of a sudden endurance can be a real strength, it would be a kind of cool full circle change.
We'll see. I people are bummed about this final, but it's just like so crazy that I'm really looking forward to it. Like, it's such a bizarre group of people that I want to see what happens.
It is super bizarre. I just hope it's not one where I don't want to see people quit. That's just what I'm worried about.
Grace Crawley says, between the lackluster performances we saw this week, Corey, Rihanna, and Jamie, and season-long weak links, Brianna and Mitch, are we gearing up for the most unfinished final performances ever?
I hope not. I hope everyone finishes, and I hope everyone doesn't bail out. But I would put money on that someone quits.
I would think, though, that the, like, time limit, like, I don't see Rihanna quitting. I see her not being able to finish it and then, like, her just being there forever and they give her a time limit or something, like what happened right,
yeah.
Now.
That could save her. The time limit could save her. I kind of wish they get rid of those. Like, if you just can't complete it, then just, like, unless it's, like, a puzzle, like, just get rid of it. If you can't finish it, then you shouldn't be in the final.
Okay, but then if you can't finish a puzzle, why is it unless it's, like, a puzzle?
Because a puzzle's, like, it's more of like a mental thing where if you just can't figure out a puzzle, you just can't figure out a puzzle. Like, I honestly, I would be fine with getting rid of time limits altogether. I just think for something, like, physical or strength, like, you should have to just be able to do it.
Okay, but it's, like, you need different strengths to complete the final. Like, if you can't do a puzzle or you can't do monkey bars, like, that's the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes you just can't do it.
That's true. I mean, they don't always do time limits. Still, like Jay and Jenna wouldn't have quit if there was a time limit at the drinking thing.
Well, that's sorry.
Didn't seem like there was no. I'm just saying, it didn't seem like there was a time limit.
That's the real thing. There is like that is like you can do it or you can't. Like that is like there. It's just you close your eyes and eat it. You know, like that. That isn't like you can't figure out the puzzle or your body's not working with your arms. You know, like that is like a choice. Like they just were not going to eat it. Honestly, so that was interesting.
And the gross food thing could be another thing that sinks Jenna again, not even because of her, because of Brianna, because they had that clip again of the bugs and Brianna wanted to kill herself before she was going to eat one of those bugs. So that could be a problem also.
I don't see Mitch and Corey quitting. I don't see Carr and Jamie quitting, obviously. I don't see Rihanna and Anissa quitting. I see them like exhausting the time limit or being told like that's it, you know, but I don't see them quitting. And Jenna seems determined not to quit over food, but I don't know how she's going to do it.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
No. I mean, it's definitely this of any other final we've had a conversation about. This is certainly the one where it would make sense to assume someone's going to quit. Like, yeah. I see what you're saying. I don't want it to happen. Kristen Kinnar wants to know, what aspects of this challenge do you think will translate to whoever makes it to the actual final? Will Corey gas out? Will Kara's athletic abilities make up for Jamie's weaknesses? Will Jenna and Brianna end up making a quiet but strong run? Will Rihanna suck at everything, etc.? What will come true?
Kara being a beast will definitely come through. Because she's a beast, so that's definitely going to come through. So that'll be number one.
Yeah, I think Corey's lack of ACL is a real problem. But I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to think back. In the other, like, challenge, the pre-final tests, has that been... Like, I feel like Zach did really well in the pre-final challenge.
That'd actually be pretty interesting. Go back and look.
I'm trying to
back on. Because they used, like, the last few seasons, they've done something like this, either like the second to last episode or whatever, like a pre-final final. I'm curious to see how those results panned out. I don't want to do the research, but maybe a listener.
I feel like, and I can easily be corrected on this, but I feel like it always is like, that's the, like, the show is to make it seem like they're all going to suck at the final, and then it never really comes to fruition like that much, right, to the point where we can't think of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they are typical. I mean, even in this one, they made it like, of course, Corey and Mitch win because they're the ones who are saying that, you know, we're preparing for the pit, and they won. So,
it is concerning that Jamie and Kara cannot work together. And like, even going into the pit, Kara is just like, all right, shut up. Like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me with that attitude. Like, I thought that was like pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah, there was real anger there, or just very high frustration. Because Kara gets flustered. That's the one thing about Kara. She definitely can get flustered in like a pressurized moment.
And then, so who finished in what order? We had Mitch and Corey win.
Jenna was second.
Then Kara and Jamie. No, they lost.
Kara was last.
Sorry.
Bananas was third, and Anissa was fourth.
Yeah. Which I think Anissa and Rihanna finishing fourth is actually like the best spot for them. And Jenna even says something like, didn't she say something like, maybe we shouldn't have finished this?
Yeah,
this
she's well? Like, oh, now like we're glad we're not going in, but now we may go in because people might view us as a threat.
Like, Anissa like got some respect and notice in the confessionals, and then they finished fourth, so like everyone saw how much Rihanna sucks, so
right,
no one's concerned them.
I mean, they're definitely in the Jay and Jenna spot right now, where if they don't finish last next week, they're going to the final.
Alistair Shaw wants to know, can we talk about how Anissa crushed this challenge, though? Certainly. Like, I know Rihanna was terrible, but I love the fact that the best person at running up a hill with a heavy bag other than Kara was Anissa. If all she needs Rihanna to do in the final is run, do you think Anissa could win this whole thing? Please say yes.
I mean, look, she was very impressive. They definitely have the longest odds to win.
I mean, well, it depends if you factor in the food eating, but I think there's no chance that Rihanna and Anissa should be favored over Kara and Jamie, unless Kara and Jamie don't make the final.
Yeah.
I mean, the best situation for them is Corey can't do it and Jenna can't eat the food. Like, then they win, sure. And Kara somehow gets knocked out.
Double quit.
So Corey and Mitch's thought process into setting teams in. What do you make of this?
It had to be done. Like, if they didn't throw in bananas, then it would have been one of the weirder decisions the show has seen in a while.
Now, we got a couple of questions. One from me in my notes, I wrote bananas argument. Brian, help me. I don't speak bananas. Jonathan Shapiro says, can you explain bananas buffer argument? I didn't understand it.
The argument, I think what he was going for is at this point in the game, they were still thinking like girls' day versus guys' day. So I think what he's saying is that if you vote in us and we knock out Kara and Jamie, and if next week is a guy's elimination, then you're automatically going in against us.
The reason this argument made no sense is because there was no argument to be made. I mean, right, it's ridiculous to think that there would be a co-ed situation now, and then next week all of a sudden it would be a guy's day.
Yeah, especially, yeah, TJ didn't even specify, like when all the other ones, they would specify, all right, you have to vote in a girl, you have to vote in a guy. Here he just said vote in whoever. So, yeah, it was clear that at this point, the sex elimination was gone.
Sorry, sex that elimination.
That was very poorly phrased.
Okay, so when we head into deliberation here, why aren't we getting from TJ, like, Corey, what an abysmal performance. Like, thank God you have Mitch here. Like, who's your person? Like, I wanted TJ to, like, check Corey a little bit here.
I don't even remember. Did he even give Mitch praise, like, or individual praise, or did he give them both praise?
He definitely didn't come down on Corey, which I wanted him to be like, wow, you're lucky. Like something like that.
Right.
Mitch could use a boost.
Could have always. Oh, Mitch could always use a boost.
So when Corey and Mitch send in bananas, somewhere Steven, Thomas, Dario, and Rafi are like standing up applauding and like getting misty eyed.
The ghost of Eliminator's past.
Can you imagine if they did like a, you know, a small, like a, what's that called? Like a close cat, whatever. What's that called?
What do you
when you have like a small screen showing something else at the bottom?
Oh, split screen?
You know, if they like, if they just like cut to Dario and, you know, like they were doing with Abe, if they like show the reaction
right
of all the people that Bananas has wronged. Sarah's there, like, laughing.
The challenge should have a, what's it called? Now I can't think of the word. What they used to do before the final on Survivor, the, oh, my God.
Rites of Passage.
Yeah, Rites of Passage.
Okay, so one thing is, like, good thing Corey has never seen an episode of The Challenge, or he may have said, earn your stripes, and I would have had to throw up.
I know. I was kind of waiting for it, too, because he added the earn your spot, and I was waiting for the earn your stripes.
You know that he has never seen an episode of this show.
Right. Or he's just not clever enough to think of it on the spot.
All right. So that brings us to the pit.
Yeah. Through thick and thin.
That I understand. Because I wrote the name.
No punny there. No pun there.
I wrote the name this time so I could see it. I was expecting it. Yeah. So Andrew Kirk wants to know, do you guys think production would have switched eliminations on the fly had Corey put in one of the girls' teams to face Cara and Jamie?
No, I think this is a pretty gender neutral challenge. Like, I mean, each person has one pretty strong person on their team that they could do the smashing of the wall. And it's not even like a smash the entire wall. You just smash a certain amount for the person to get through. So this was perfectly gender neutral.
And the sledgehammer is not, from what I understand from Jordan, it's not, it's more about leveraging it in the right way as opposed to like brute strength.
Right.
But also the girls, it's like what we saw with Cara is like Jamie has a smaller hole to make for Cara and she can get through. So like exactly. Jen and Brianna would have only needed to make a smaller hole.
Yeah. I mean, you would think Vince should be able to dominate this portion, but they got through at the same time.
No one would think that.
That's very true.
Kristen Kennard says, so thankfully they ditched the male-female elimination days, but we did get a fairly lame puzzle for the pit. Which is the lesser of two evils to you?
I don't mind a puzzle for the pit. I just didn't understand the puzzle that much. Like, I wish that we had, like, the answer key or whatever, just so we can know if someone's right or wrong. Like, I had no idea what they were trying to do.
Well, see, I liked when they showed, I mean, they did show the answer key at that point.
Right. Well, they showed it when Bananas was wrong. And even when they showed it, I didn't really understand what they were showing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a tough puzzle. It was weird. It was like some psychedelic stuff. But for me, like Kristen's question brings up to me, like, should it have been co-ed the entire time?
Yes.
Why?
Because it allows them to do much more stuff. And I just didn't like also when a person would sit out in elimination. I just think that's super lame. Like, everyone should, if you're in the game, you should have to compete.
I agree. The fact that they're showing us how this could be co-ed and work and it could still be pretty physical, I thought was great. Like, I don't, even if they did like heats and you could pick your person to go get, like, I don't know. I just think that it needed to be, I don't think any of the pits were like that phenomenal that we really would have missed something if they were co-ed. Like, even the spinning thing and stacking, like a man and a woman could have competed against each other. And like Survivor has no problem coming up with challenges for co-ed team pairs. I mean, co-ed things. Right. So I think, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that, because like you said, there weren't that many physical eliminations. And it just goes back to the fact that Kahata like really got screwed with this, because he got one of the only like kind of physical eliminations. So if he was in like almost any of the other ones, they might still be in this game and a decent chance to win.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm thinking of the door slamming one was pretty weight based. Kahata's was weight based. Yeah, you're right.
So it kind of just drew a short straw.
He's a short guy.
That was not pun intended.
So I watched this for anyone who follows me on Twitter at like 4 a.m. and
very impressive, by the way.
You gotta do. So I was getting all kinds of tweets about this Mitch watch, and it just like made my whole life happy.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's become a thing. I love it. It's one of the more powerful things we've created on the podcast.
It's generous that you say we've created.
That's true. Well, everything. Hey, you signed an imaginary contract. Anything you create, I get half. So be prepared.
Unless I create something,
then I get 75%.
Is this our podcast prenuptial agreement?
Yes, it is.
So this like little ditty in between the commercial break to get you to try to watch commercials and stop your DVR will forever be called Mitch Watch for me. Like, from now on, when we talk about a show, I'll be like, in the Mitch Watch portion, like this happened.
Yeah. Do you like those little things, though.
They're annoying.
They're really annoying.
But at least we get tweets about Mitch Watch. Then I search the hashtag Mitch Watch because not everyone tags me in it, and I like all of them.
Stalker.
That's fine. That's kind of like stalking myself.
Do you find that anyone uses it that doesn't seem to be like a challenge follower?
Oh, yeah.
That's when it would something would go. It would be getting interesting.
Just a couple people like had said some things about other Mitches in their lives. So this particular segment regarding Nutcum, I tweeted out a full picture of what Nutcum is because I was so enthralled in this. And it's basically just like Turkish Nutella.
What's really funny is when I first watched this, I didn't notice this scene was happening, so I zoomed past it. And I saw you tweet that out, and I had absolutely no idea what the hell happened to your Twitter feed.
Amazing, amazing.
I thought you got hacked or like something by some weird like pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a weird thought.
This became a prescription for something, that like hazelnut thing. Based on the name, you thought it was like what, like an ointment? Like what did you
think? Or something. I'm like, why is she advertising this?
All right, that's amazing. So the thing is with Mitch, let's break this down. I can't decide if Mitch is in on the joke or if he's like the court jester for the cool kids. And like sometimes laughing, I don't know if I'm laughing at Mitch or if I'm laughing with Mitch, which is kind of what you're saying, is like you don't know if you think he's getting self-aware about Mitch Watch, but I decided that it's best not to think too much about it so that I could still enjoy it. But I do find myself feeling sorry for him, like when he's in the challenge and he's like at Corey, like, you're killing it, you're amazing, like you're way stronger than I am, like you're so much better than me, and then he's like, you know, dance monkey dance with bananas for Bananas Entertainment. Like, right. I don't know if Mitch is like hanging with the it crowd and is fitting in, or if he is like so self-conscious that he'll just do anything for their approval.
Yeah, I think it's all the above except for him like being in on the joke. He's not in on the joke. Like he had that confessional where he had in the beginning. He's like, oh, I'm happy to be with Mitch. It's, or I'm happy to be back with Corey. It's a family reunion. Like he just spit back the words that like MTV told him to say. Yeah. It's so like painfully lame.
But it is making the season watchable now for the next like two episodes.
I mean, Mitch, like without Mitch Watch, Mitch would be one of the worst people on the challenge in like in a long time. So this has made him fun.
I discovered Mitch. I'm just going to say.
No. You did.
So you know what?
You absolutely did.
It's a lesson for me because when I absolutely hate someone, because in the preview, like I was like, I hate Mitch and I hated him. But then it's like when you take what you absolutely hate about a person and choose to enjoy it, you start really loving them. So everyone who hates me, just choose to love me, and it'll be like Mitch Watch.
That's like a philosophy people could just use in the world, and it would solve all problems.
I've learned a lesson here, because I hated the kid, and then just decided to watch it in a different way, and now, like, I hope he comes back every season.
There we go.
Remember when we said, like, Mitch fans, and you were like, what Mitch
ho?
Fans?
Yeah, ho. Now there's, like, hundreds. Well, we have
two Mitch fans who wrote us some questions. So Derek Boucher, I always do the same thing with his name. He's never let me know. So fair to say Mitch has surpassed Corey as not only more entertaining, but now seemingly better at challenges too.
It's not unfair to say. I mean, it's not like Corey's really done that. I mean, I think Corey's, I guess, still better, but it's not unfair to question that.
Whoa, 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 whoa. All right. Let's not get carried away here, Mitch Watchers, okay? Like, I'm a Mitch, I don't want to say Mitch bitch, but like Mitch bitch, as far as everyone else is too. Like, we love Mitch here now. But let's not forget the performance of the eight other challenges or nine other challenges he's participated in on television thus far. Like, he does a puzzle well and can run with the bag. Fine.
He's Zach Galifianakis, that shit.
But we're not about to start saying, like, Mitch is better than Corey based on one performance. Let's get to the final, and then let's reevaluate Mitch's athletic ability.
I would say, though, that I do think Mitch is more set up to do well in a final than Corey. Like, Corey may be more set up for, like, an elimination, but I think Mitch is more set up to do better in a final.
That's fine, because we have talked about, like, what makes you good in the individual challenges or the week-to-week challenges is not necessarily what makes you good in a final. Mm-hmm. But based on Derek's question, is he now seemingly better at challenges? No. Let's not forget the first 9 weeks of this show.
It was scary down there.
Rebecca Thistle wants to know, although this is something that would most likely never have been considered earlier in the season, with Mitch actually doing well in this week's challenge and being one of the most entertaining people left on the show, is he someone we could actually see back in a future season?
I mean, he's go back for an exes, right? Him and Rihanna. Dynamic duo.
Yeah, because they're really going to be searching for someone to bring Rihanna back with. Like, we need to have Rihanna, but ooh, who can we bring to be with her?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's well the opposite. We need to have Mitch back. Who could we bring with him? We got Rihanna.
No chance.
Feed him cold cut turkey.
I think if the only way to bring Bananas back was to bring back Rihanna, they still wouldn't do it. I don't think we see Rihanna on my television ever again.
Yeah, we probably won't see Mitch either.
The thing about Mitch is, like, every episode he's becoming, like, closer and closer to getting back on. And I don't know, I feel like production loves him. And that could just, as far as what I know about Survivor, like, if production likes you, you have a better shot of getting back on mm-hmm. than even just based on the show.
Right.
And they do need someone to fill that beta male spot. I said this to someone on Twitter, like, the Preston spot, the Mike spot. Like, they need somebody to be in that beta male seat. And I don't know that we need to see Preston again. If it's between Preston and Mitch, maybe they give Mitch. Maybe they roll the dice on Mitch again.
Yeah.
We'll see. Back to the pit.
Mitch Watch gets us distracted.
I'll be talking about Mitch all day.
I think we got 15 minutes in, right? Didn't we cover the 15 minutes she asked for?
That was not in regards to Mitch. But we do what we want here. This is our show. I just rewatched the Siobhan and Anissa elimination round. And after Anissa, like, barely wins, she starts saying, like, not in my house. Like, get the fuck out of my house. And that's what I just thought of. Okay.
Did that not lead you then to watch Siobhan's implant pop?
No, because that's fresh in my mind. I don't need to go back to that. Anyway, we'll get to Siobhan because we have a question about her. All right. So the rest of the pit happens. Banana loses. We'll get to your tweet because people tweeted me about it. We have a question about spoilers regarding this pit. Did you remember this?
The question?
Did you remember the spoil? I didn't feel
not this. While watching the episode. I didn't remember it. No.
So,
but now when I saw the question, I did remember.
Allison Smith says, I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching the elimination, I had a really strong feeling that Cara and Jamie won because of the edit and the fact that they've shown the shut up Anissa multiple times and it hasn't happened yet. Did you have the same thoughts when watching?
Not while watching, but yeah, when they did like the coming up on and they showed the scene, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, we hadn't seen that scene. But didn't they also show a scene like this season on of Jamie calling Bananas a sociopath who has to kill someone? And did that scene ever come up?
I think he said that in a confessional.
Did he?
Because I feel like we talked about that.
I remember that. I don't remember them doing it in the episode because I remember it always being in a preview.
I don't recall. I feel like we definitely talked about it, but maybe we talked about the preview because I feel like I said that that's 100% correct. I feel like I remember talking about that.
Okay. Maybe.
All right.
But no, I did not remember that scene while watching the elimination.
I didn't either. And I'm sorry for the people who it did spoil. Like, that is actually a real bummer because this was interesting.
It is so stupid that why would they show a scene in the final four in this season? Like, the challenge does this stuff all the time. And it's I don't care why they don't change.
This was pretty short on drama, like, this season. So, like, clippable drama without showing Abe that they could say, like, have like a bit in and like shut up Anissa, like, is I could see why they wanted to use it.
Thank God Abe showed up. Like otherwise the middle of the season would just have been such a drag.
Bless. Thank you, Abe. All right, so Vince is a real sore loser, which just like takes the cake for how much Vince sucks. Johnny though, great sport.
Yeah, took it like a champ.
And we have some questions about that. Jacob Brabant says, as much as I love seeing Cara beat Bananas, do y'all have a problem with the format? Because it should have been a girl's day and for all intents and purposes was a guy's day. Sorry, this question I should have asked earlier, but.
Right. I didn't have a problem with it. I think at this point, I mean, they've been mixing up the rules this whole season. So it's, and we're gonna have a problem with it here too. So Yeah, with so few teams left, then I didn't have a problem with it.
Sorry, I had that out of order. Sometimes I can only predict what we're going to talk about when in the wrong spot. But we had an interesting conversation in the thread about why Banana said what he said about to be the best, you got to beat the best, and she whooped his ass. Tyler Armijo says, how much do you think MTV had to pay Bananas for the sound clip of him saying Kara whipped his ass in the elimination? Alex Kidwell said, or is he a master of the edit, knew she would love seeing that from home, and is hoping if she wins this one and gets the monkey off her back, that she'll be willing to work with him in the future? I will let Umberto respond to that for me, who said, oh, come on now.
I still think Bananas is actually like a pretty good loser. Like, even though CT,
I'm sorry,
he is. Even the CT backpack incident, he took that like a champ. Like, he didn't like cower away. He said, like, he took that like a champ.
Sarah,
that was the in the moment. Like, when he lost, he like didn't like storm off or whatever. Like, he's a decent loser.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's a decent loser. I think we've seen back and forth from him, and we've seen him lose really ungracefully, and we've seen him lose right here gracefully. So I'm not going to take it away from him. I think he had a great reaction in this instance. But I will say there might be some validity to what Alex said, because Kara tweeted, literally meant so much more because of what a strong team we faced, and I'm about as good as with puzzles as swimming. So she did feel buttered up and return the compliment to Bananas.
But this is what I always stress about what Bananas brings. Like, I know, like, oh, yeah, Nisa's like also a good veteran. There's also like top veterans. But Bananas brings that with him, that aura of wanting to beat him. Like, Kara doesn't have that reaction to beating Nisa in elimination, because Elisa's just not Bananas. For everyone that they want Bananas off the show. But it brings a lot every single time. Even not just him, just the people around him bring it because of him. So losing, like, don't be so quick to want him off the show. I'm telling you, it's going to be a real dark day.
I'm going to wait to respond to that, to ask Tia Townshone's question, which is this the start of the next phase of the challenge where Bananas doesn't reign? Moving forward, do you think we'll have less of a dominant alliance, more shakeups each season?
Oh, am I answering that, or do you want to?
Well, I'll let you respond. Go ahead.
I think the last few seasons have been pretty clear that there hasn't really been a dominant alliance, so I think we're already in that era of no dominant alliances.
But the first question, which is this the next phase of the challenge where Bananas doesn't reign?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, he's getting older. Some people might be more than take a shot at him. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to dominate as much, but I think he'll win again.
I mean, you tweeted, like, the king is dethroned. And here's the thing. Like, Bananas got beat, and he doesn't even get to say, like, oh, Vince blew it for me. Like, he got beat as a participant in the challenge. Mm-hmm. He's now – this is the second time he hasn't even made a final. And I'm not buying that, like, the king is now dethroned. Like, the king got dethroned, if you want to even say that, by Sarah. I don't think we're in the space anymore where Bananas is a lock to win no matter what. Like, the social game is a part of the game. And if they want you out, you have to make it to the end, right? You have to make it to the end to be the king of the challenge. You have to get through the whole thing. So I do think that he is the narrator of the season, that production relies heavily on him being there and his presence. So in that respect, sure. But I think he's past his prime in terms of the actual game, the physical and the social game of the challenge. I'm sorry.
I think that's totally fair. But the king... The king is not necessarily just that he is like the reigning champion. Obviously, he's not. The king is just the status. It's kind of like
that you've applied.
No, that
your status.
No, it's not. It's not me. It's everyone else applied. Like, it's the whole thing with like no.
I have not applied that.
It's not you. It's everyone on the show. Like, Kara does not react to beating anyone else the way she did, other than Bananas, because he like
partially because she hates him. That partially because she wants to wipe the smug look off of his face.
And like she said,
and partially because he's a big competitor. But I think as the years pass, where he keeps getting knocked out. I mean, you have to look at this level of competition on this season. The fact that he did not make a final in this level of competition says something. It says something. I'm sorry. And I know he was targeted and he had some great maneuvers out. Like, I'm not going to take any of the compliments I've given him away. But if you're going to show up to this season and you're not going to make the final, Like, I'm not gonna, like, bow down. Bananas is here. You know, he doesn't have control the way he used to. He's an island of one. And this season, we saw him alienate, like, almost all of the people he was close to anyway. Now, if him and Camilla and Nani are back together, I don't know that they'd hold a grudge.
Right.
But he didn't do a great job with the relationships that he had built, that he had left, of people who are going to come back.
No, this was definitely a disappointing showing for him. But one other just quick point of defense. We both thought Kara and Jamie were the best team in the season. So I think they lost to the best team this season.
The other thing is in terms of, like, oh, will it be a dark day when he leaves? Like, the challenge is not rely around on him. Like, yes, this seat, when he's on it, they use him, but I don't think they'd have a problem going on without him. I mean, they've had Coral, Mark, Amit, like, all of these classic people, Katie, Veronica, like, could you have imagined watching men without them? And then they introduce a new class and you get used to them. Now, I think it was a big hit, the fact that Jordan, like, quote unquote, retired, because yeah, I did think there was a transition to be made there.
And Frank.
And I agree. Yeah. Oh, he's engaged. Mazel tov. And Zach, I think we see them now trying to make Zach, like, a bigger icon than he actually is, right, to kind of make that transition. Like, look, we're comparing Zach to CT, so believe that Zach is CT so we can replace him with it, like, seamlessly. But my final thought on this, and sorry for rambling on, if Laguna Beach can go on without LC, the challenge can go on without Bananas.
Wow, really keeping on your toes with these references. Oh my God, that came out of nowhere.
No, but basically, for anyone who watched Laguna Beach or anyone who didn't, the main person, the entire story was built around her life. And then the next season she left, they made her enemy that everyone hated. They edited the show around her, and all of a sudden you loved her. So with the magic of television, if he doesn't come back, and now I think it's going to be a long time before they stop offering to come and he starts agreeing. I think maybe Hannah will have something to do with it if he stops coming back. But I don't think they'll have a problem at all transitioning out of him. They're not casting a great cast to take the right, but, like, I don't think Steven and Thomas are, like, a great setup here to replace Bananas, but I don't think that they'll have a problem if they one day want to.
But it also, it'll depend by, like, a lot of the next future of the challenge will be determined by these bloodlines, because I think the hope was that some of these could be long-lasting people, and they're not, haven't been that impressive, so hopefully that changes.
Now, I had a question, I lost it, so whatevs.
I did the shrug, like, emoji, but you can't really see it, so.
Good, because I haven't told you this, and you use it a lot.
I love it.
That is, like, I hate the shrug emoji. Like, I just immediately think of, like, that is the dumbest thing anyone's ever said. I hate it. That's why I usually never respond to. I just delete our entire conversation when you send it. It's not just you, it's everyone. I'm just like, shrug. I hate it. Okay. All right, so then we get this, like, weird ambiguous ending to this episode. What are you making of this, that there's just nothing left to show?
Yeah, I did enjoy the symbolism of Mitch throwing the banana away. I didn't realize Mitch was a lefty. That was kind of an interesting twist.
I just didn't like Mitch, like, delicately dives into the pool. Yeah. Like, I just thinking, like, who just got hit in the face with that banana?
Production guy got hit. Who the hell's throwing a banana at me?
Kara is giddy, and we really see nothing about Jenna and Brianna.
Yeah.
And then the episode ends.
Off to Berlin.
Yeah. Do you like that they're traveling with four? And from what we can tell, they're going to whittle it to three.
Yeah, I mean, and this is usually a pretty staple, at least in recent years, that they travel with one before the final. So I'm good with it.
I like that Bananas had the line of, like, yeah, it's an all-expense-paid trip to Berlin. Like, I like that they're, like, saying, like, there are other advantages to winning here. Like, we get a vacation. I like that was, like, a little peek behind. I'm surprised they kept that in, actually.
How many people do you think knew where they were really going? Like, when they said Berlin, do you think they actually knew where they were going?
They'll have to ask that in the next trivia thing. Like, can you imagine if they ask a trivia question about the challenge, the final destination, but they don't say it? It's just, like, buried in.
That would be really fun.
So you get a clip of Jenna being like, "Ber what?" And then later, like, it pays off, like, five episodes later.
What they used to do, which I hope they go back to, is on trivia, they would sometimes ask trivia about previous seasons, and I hope they could bring that back.
Well, I don't think they want to, like, alienate the people against the audience, because, like, the fact that Corey hasn't seen an episode of this show would probably, like, alienate him. I mean, we get in trouble for not knowing enough about the show, and we talk 2 hours a week about it.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, so we got a hodgepodge of, like, amazing questions. So this is kind of just, like, bonus round, no theme questions.
Go for it.
Eric J. Williams says, did anyone see the point of the after show? What was that?
It was awful. I started watching it and I'm like, realized 5 minutes in, like, this is literally just a clip show of the season. So I watched the last 15 minutes on like the 2-bar fast forward, waiting for something to pop up, and nothing popped up. So
yeah, that was horrible and a waste, and I didn't watch it. Yeah. Or I started, same thing. Jeremy Burris is out. Oh, the other thing, sorry, that was weird about it is, like, they don't have an after show every week. So it's not as though they, like, needed to fill the time with the clip show. So I don't understand why, if you're not going to have it every week, you, like, feel like you need to put in filler.
And why? And this would, if they were going to do this, why wouldn't they do this, like, the week before the finale?
It is
a weird time to do it now.
Because they're going to have an after show. I don't know if there was, like, some, when they filmed the after show, like, because I know Zuri was on the red carpet for the SAG Awards on Saturday, so I don't know if she, like, wasn't available to do a lot. Are the after shows live?
No, they're taped.
But they're taped, but they were watching that episode.
Yeah, they were just watching the
okay.
Yeah, they watch it so they can talk about it.
Oh, they do it in front of an audience.
I'm pretty sure they're not live. I mean, they're like probably filmed like a week before it happens or something.
All right. So Jeremy Burris, Allie, you're killing fantasy points. And no, I have no relation to any housewife, which is clarification I appreciate. My question this week, with Bananas and Abram both gone, what is the biggest storyline? Kara reaching a final, Anissa's inevitable finals collapse, or Mitch Watch?
It's got to be Kara, right? I mean, that's the season, is her getting to a final and winning.
I mean, yeah, that's the story. Snooze. The real story is Mitch Watch. I feel like I just sounded like Rachel Riley there for any Big Brother people. And I'm going to wash my mouth out with soap after this. Alex Kidwell says, at this point, who would you take in an unknown heads up competition? Vince or Siobhan?
Let's go with Siobhan.
So this is who you would want to go against. When I first read this, before I read out loud, I thought it was like, who would you, like, replacement level? Like, who would you put in for you?
Anything Siobhan. Vince sucks.
No, anything Siobhan. I would say if I had to, like, put my money on Vince or Siobhan to win a random season, I would throw it in on Vince. He didn't do that horribly in this challenge final.
He wasn't that great.
We're talking about Siobhan. I'm not talking about who would I pick out of anyone. Siobhan's terrible. You need to go back and watch her.
She gave me one of my favorite moments of television history.
All right.
And
so
she was a spark of my favorite moment in challenge history.
Be more specific. We have an audience listening.
Her sleeping with CT was the spark that led to CT wanting to eat Adam's face.
Okay. Memories.
It was Franz Ferdinand being murdered, right? That was the thing that started World War I.
Edward Morris says, people get mad at me when I do that too, but I have to move on. Edward Morris says, spoiler question. So anyone who doesn't want to know the cast, I don't know. Just, listen anyway. It doesn't matter. Fair or unfair that Nicole and Nani and Vince and Bananas are on next season and not teamed up?
That's a good point. Yeah, are any of them together? Because, yeah, no, Vince is with Jenna. So they're like two bloodlines can cover four teams. Yeah, that's not that good.
We did talk about this a bit in our preview, I think, of like the potential of like bloodlines being on seasons together. It's complete bullshit. But I mean, they've had like people who have been engaged to each other. Like they've had like exes, people in relationships. Right. I mean, are CT and DM ever going to cross each other in that situation when they were there? Like, you know, you have people who have really strong relationships that are like blood, but it's still a huge advantage.
And I mean, and let's be real. Do you really doubt that like Bananas would cut Vince's throat if he had to?
I don't think he would. I don't think he's going to slit his throat. I think I can see him voting him in, like, right. a la what he did to Nani. But exactly. I don't think he's going to, like, connive against. I still think he's going to look out for him as much as possible.
I mean, ideally, he would want to work with him. But, I mean, ideally, he wanted to work with Nani. And ideally, he wanted to work with Camilla. So
I don't. I think he would go harder to save Vince. But we'll see. I mean, we'll get to see. The other thing is talking about ideally, I forget who all these people's pairs are, but if you could make a four-team alliance between the other people of Bloodlines, if it's like on Blood versus Water on Survivor, where if your loved one has already gone home, you bond with the people who have already lost their loved ones. In this case, you'd want to bond with the people whose bloodlines are there, and then you have a team of eight. That's pretty good.
It is. But then it's also like, you know, everyone else who's not in that like core group can be like, all right, we have to bond together to get rid of them. And so that could just be the theme of the season.
We will see. I look forward to it. Andre Feldman, at which point in his life did Vince start calling his cousin Bananas?
That has to be a sad moment, right? Like, can you imagine calling someone in your family the name of a fruit?
Then she had a follow-up. Is that better or worse than calling your cousin?
The cuz thing is like turning into one of the most irritating things in the entire world. And it's almost making me dislike Carr because I know why she's doing it. She's doing it because I know she thinks that that's what the producers want to hear. That she wants.
I think you're giving her a lot
of
credit to say. I don't think that's true. I don't buy that theory.
And her calling TJ Teej is like nails on a chalkboard at this point. Like one time, say TJ, please.
I mean, I think she has like an 8-year relationship with him. Like, I'm not going to get like too bogged down in the nickname thing. It's like the shrug emoji. Like, everyone's got things that bug them. But yeah, I think they're both pretty bad. But the banana thing is ridiculous that he's calling.
It is. But if you think of like Thanksgiving dinner, he's like, Bananas, can you pass the stuffing? Like, that's so weird.
Although, the thing that Bananas retweeted is, Bananas was featured. They cut to Bananas at the X game. I guess his girlfriend was competing.
Yeah.
And sorry, let's see. Oh, he said, watching the X Games and a wild MTV Bananas appears, Alex Fisher. And he was titled, in quotes, Johnny Bananas had his boyfriend. Like, did he get asked what his first and last name was? And he was like, just put Johnny Bananas. They'll know.
Well, if they put John, I think his last name was like something with a D. I can't remember. If they put that, I feel like most people like not even realize who that was. Like even like people who know recognize him, but they looked at quick glance, they might not even recognize that him.
But I don't know what they do for the X Games, but it doesn't seem like they put him there because it's like, oh, a celebrity in the crowd. They put his name in freaking quotes. It didn't say like Johnny Bananas MTV personality or TV right. personality. It said Hannah's boyfriend. It's like when they cut to them and say like, oh, Hannah's friends and family. You know, like, yeah. I don't think they were like, oh, like he's a pop culture figure. So we're going to like put him on screen.
The names in quotes is a good touch. I wonder if they did that for anyone else. That's like how they put people's names or if they actually just put his names as Johnny Bananas in quotes.
No, they definitely don't put like Brian Cohen in quotes. Okay, so this is a long question that I think you're going to like. So that's why I pulled it. You're welcome. Floyd Brian Casson says, Brian, I loved your idea about challenge pay-per-view. I had a similar idea a few years back when they did Spring Break Challenge. You bring back challengers from epic eliminations. Example, Derek and Wes and Paul Russell and Sarah Grayson versus that girl whose name escapes me and the final elimination in the Gauntlet 1. Also, you create the eliminations of legends the fans never got a chance to see. Example, Coral versus Beth, which... at this point, it would be a joke. I'm adding that.
Bring out the rocker for that one.
In something physical, and CT versus Landon in something physical. You do this all during Spring Break Live, and they can show promos for the upcoming challenge. What do you guys think?
I wish it was a visual podcast so I can take the meme of the guy saying, take my money. Take my money.
Well, you would not have to pay for this. You would just have to watch the Spring Break coverage on MTV, which do they still do? It's not as big as it used to be when like TRL was like a huge thing.
I have no idea what that is. So no.
Oh my God. It's like they used to have like girls like do like whipped cream bikini contests. They have guys like it used to be like MTV Spring Break was like such a huge thing.
No, I never watched it.
It was like when the height of the Real World was happening.
I mean, I know that's where Camilla came from, but that's all I know about it.
My reaction to this is I'm going to pull a different question from this kind of idea. Is MTV going about this all wrong? Like, instead of focusing on what's the new feeder to the challenge, should they be focusing more on spinoffs, like using the pool for the challenge in other ways?
Like, do you have any ideas as to what?
Well, like something like this, like, should they be doing more with that? Should they be hosting more? Should there be another show involving them where it's like, then you could maybe bring Mark Long back or Darrell back, but maybe they've outgrown the challenge. But maybe they do little side bits here and there as promotion. I don't know.
I've always wanted to see, like, the wrestling has this show Tough Enough where they have people compete to try to get a job at WWE. Like, I would almost like to see that for the challenge where people have to compete to get on the challenge.
It's called The Real World. No, I don't know. I see what you're saying. I don't think that they... The thing is the reality of it is, if they're targeting, you know, 13 to 18 year olds or whatever it is, most of these people were not alive, nor were they watching when all these quote unquote greats were on. Like, these people don't know The Miz. So if The Miz shows up, they're not really getting that audience. And the audience that would know that maybe isn't watching the challenge already, is not just watching MTV and seeing a promo for that come up. So I know that MTV is really happy with the performance of the challenge. I don't know that they're going to double down on any more productions from this group of people.
I mean, they can all easily just do this stuff online too. Because I always wanted to do them to do stuff like before the show, like doing a cast reveal, like even before the Survivor Second Chances. I always thought that's how the challenge should reveal their cast, is like do it like live on stage, just get people excited for the season. I never understood why they keep their cast secretive.
I just think, like, we have to be realistic about the amount of time and effort and money that MTV is putting into the challenge, and be realistic about the expectations that they would have. Like, they barely write a bio, you know, like they give us like 2-second videos. I don't think they're gonna like fly out everyone to be in one location to do like a press for this.
That's why I wanted to win Mega Millions, so I can just buy the challenge franchise and make it good.
And then when no one watches it, you'll feel bad.
No, because I was like, buy like a spot on CBS and I'll put it on there.
I think if there was an audience for any of these kinds of things, they would be doing it. You know, like, I just don't think that there's an audience for it. I think we should all just be happy that the challenge has been on this long.
That's very true.
Logan Messenger says, if you could choose two of the bloodlines to put together to compete on a future season, who would you choose and why?
Interesting. I want Shane. Shane's my favorite bloodline this season, definitely. So him. And I don't have another choice. All the other bloodlines are bad. I mean, Jill would be a good competitor, so sure, her.
Anthony and Rihanna. No, I mean, I do think that maybe Shane and Nicole would be good. I'm disappointed with who they have coming back. I mean, I like that Nicole is coming back. I don't see any purpose to having Vince coming back.
No.
Jamie, borderline. We'll see how he does his second time out. I'm going to take your advice and give him a chance. I like Jamie. I think he adds a lot of athleticism. And he has an interest in strategizing, but I just like don't think he was like a huge standout.
And now it's like his elimination win now is like tainted. He didn't even really win.
Why do you say that?
Well, because Mike threw.
Oh, I thought you meant this last one against Bananas and Vince. I don't think that was tainted.
No, this was definitely warranted, 100%.
But I do want to see Mike back, but I slim to none, especially if he quit and they know it.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
Mitch, I'm at this point, I'd like to see Mitch back. Jamie, I'm okay with seeing back. Nicole, okay. I mean, maybe we'll go through this in the last podcast, but we'll see. I don't know that there's a pair I want to see. I think that's almost why, like, the Rivals is interesting, because it gives them a reason to be paired, but... Mm-hmm. You know who I don't want to see? Tony.
Really?
Ugh.
I can't wait to see Tony.
Well, we've talked about this already.
Yeah.
On the podcast. We talked about this an hour ago. All right. So Nick Sabetta says, how perfect would it be if the final ends up being one all-male team, one all-female team, and one mixed-gender team?
Oh, yeah. That would be kind of cool. So we would need either Anissa and Rihanna or Jenna and... Brianna, go home.
Do you think that's what's going to happen? I mean, besides, I think we have a question about this later, but I don't know. Besides, like, unless, like, a Nisa and Brianna win or Jen and Brianna win, do you think that Corey, Mitch, Kara, and Jamie would just do a let's just throw those two in?
Yeah. I don't know how they would face off. I don't see that. I feel like one of them would lose, but I feel like if Kara doesn't win, they're going in 100%. But then I feel like if, and then Corey and Mitch would be the second choice, but I don't even know.
I just think like Corey and Mitch, I think, would want to get rid of Jamie and Kara. But I do kind of, I could see if they thought of it, if let's say Jamie and Kara win, I could see Corey and Mitch swaying them by saying, like, let's keep the best competitors here left and go against the best. Like, I feel like that's very Kara to not just take the layup and to want, and to say, okay, Anissa and Rihanna are the weakest team and they should go out.
Yeah, I feel like that is usually Kara's stance, right? She always tries to keep that.
Well, usually it's against her. But we'll see how genuine it is. But I do think that's her kind of thing, which is why she didn't throw the challenges.
Right, right.
One thing's interesting. So we still don't know the setup of the final. We still don't know how the money gets broken down. Mike Bloom has a suggestion, the great Mike Bloom. I think the winning pair should do a split share decision a la the end of Bachelor Pad 3. Now, did you watch Bachelor Pad?
I did not.
So at the end of Bachelor Pad, it was like a friend or foe. Did you watch the game show Friend or Foe?
I did watch that. That was a lot of fun.
So it was just like that, where it's like, okay, the pairs at the end, you can either pick keep and, or you could pick keep or split. If you both pick split, you split it. One picks keep and one picks split. The person who picks keep screws the splitter and takes all the money. If you both pick keep, you go home with nothing. And the losers, all the people who have lost, split the money.
That's an awesome idea. I think that's how every pair challenge should go.
It's very, very good. It's very amazing. Good. And it's,
that's actually one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard for the challenge.
And it would be better, though, if like it wasn't Bloodline. I mean, I still think it'd be good, but it'd be better on a non-Bloodline season.
No, I think it's even better on Bloodlines. Could you imagine if like a brother screwed over
but
the
brother?
But they're
not going to. But that's why I'm saying it's not as good, is because they would never do that. Yeah. There's no reason to do that. So like... Yeah. What's interesting is the person famously who chose to keep the money and screwed the person who picked split was because the way that teams form in Bachelor Pad, without going too much into Bachelor Land, is basically like the teams form organically and then you have to kind of like pick, commit to a partner towards the end of the show. And it's like romantic. So this guy had the girl had no romantic interest in the guy and kind of treated him like shit the whole time. And then they ended up winning. And she was like, yay, we'll split it. And he was like, no, F you. You've been mean to me this whole time. I'm taking the money. And it was like the crowd went wild. So that would be great. It's like if someone like, I'm thinking of like Battle of the Seasons where like Frank and Zach are treating Sam like shit. And then Sam gets to be like, screw you. I'm taking all your money.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot. That would be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
All right, this brings us to the end of the questions and takes me right into the belly of the beast with Kara, Maria, and Abe, unless you have anything else about this episode.
Nope.
Buckle up, Buttercup. Is your seatbelt on? You have your helmet on, your knee pads, your elbow pads, your mouth guard?
I don't have my mouth card, so we have to stop.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'll give you a second to get that together. Okay, so I couldn't even wait to talk about this on the podcast. I went to a Facebook group about this, and I went to Brian directly about this, because Kara lost her shit this week on Twitter, and it was glorious.
Great way to put it. No, that's the exact word. It was glorious.
What's important here is that the next day, she had not deleted the tweets. As of today, she had deleted most of the tweets.
Did she really?
But you can't hide from us, Kara. We got screenshots. We got printouts.
Yeah. Framing that shit.
All right. So, as of today, what stands is she said something like, I'm basically allowed to have one guy friend and ignore all exes, but he's allowed to call, see, email his exes, all pre-Tom incident. She left up a tweet that said, my biggest regret is not being honest with myself or him about being unhappy and breaking up before I went on the stupid show, lied to myself. Social media isn't the place for this, but I'm livid, bottled it up enough. You guys know none of my story, so back the F off with judgments. But that's not all there was. Let's take it back to the beginning. Abe tweeted to Coral, "Happy birthday at that Coral. Still looking great, wink face. So what are you these days, 26, 27, wink face?" Coral said, "We did make a pretty amazingly cute couple, just saying, smile," which, like, blew some people's minds. And then Abe responded, "We didn't make a cute couple. We made an international powerhouse. Coral, and at that Coral, looks like I'll be seeing San Fran Mud February." Kara lost her shit. So it's a little messy because it's hard to follow. So Kara responds directly to that tweet. "You write me a letter, then flirt with your ex on social media like your relationship was so perfect. Hilarious. I know." Then she says, "That time you made me feel guilty for even asking you to do something like that with me. Those types of people who do," and then in quotes, like, "those type of people who do that are dot, dot, dot." I guess, like, Abe talks some shit about Tough Mudders. Because then Kari said, "Tough Mudder? Like the time I asked nicely if you wanted to do an obstacle race with me and you went into a tirade about how horrible? Like that time in Hawaii?" And then, oh, now she's starting to bring Coral into it, which this girl's fearless. She says, "Like that time in Hawaii when she drove you off the road powerfully into a tree because of that powerful fight you had?" Ooh, airing that dirty laundry, that Coral and Abe drama. Didn't see those tweets.
Nope.
Then she goes, "LMAO, what's next for you? CrossFit? Well, now that I'm free, I'm getting back into it since no one will make me feel bad now." Interesting choice to say now that you're free, considering everyone thought he kept you in a cage anyway, but okay.
Right.
Then she said, "I made out with a guy after he brought a girl into our shower, among other things. I'd say we even. F off with what you don't know."
Scandalous.
And she said another great one. "Oh, he's still the best sex I've had in my entire life. Ladies, go ahead. But then again, I haven't given anyone else a shot in 5 years, so." My favorite thing about this is Jess, from every season that you shouldn't watch because Jess was on it, retweeted her biggest regret tweet and wrote, "Not always easy to break up before a show, and sometimes you don't realize how miserable you are until you're gone." What are you talking about? Like, be quiet.
Go away, Jess. Go away.
So Abe's response, he says, "I hope it incur-" So he directly said, "Stoked at Miss Cara Maria," which is not her current Twitter handle, "are stepping it up at CF. Serious," which is CrossFit, "was always impressed with to all you could do. Hope it helps you open a gym." Really. He actually said, "Open it gym." Smiling face. Really. Which Abe is absolutely horrible on Twitter, so bear with us.
Abe doesn't know how to type correctly. Shocking.
Then he says, "LOL, smiley face at Cara Maria MTV. Wanna run a Tough Mudder? Okay. Concrete Pete, convince me. Smiley face. You're pretty when you're all fired up. Wink. Best. Smiley face." Now, there's nothing worse than someone doing that, like, "I wish you the best. Like, I'm above it." When you're really slumming it in the mud and somebody is like, "Oh, I'm taking the high road," that is the biggest dick move ever.
And it's the great way to get it under someone's skin. So, good job, I am.
So, this pissed me off from Abe's response is Angie Wagner Tarter tweeted this and Abe retweeted it. "There has been pain and blame, but let me ask, what would CT do for another moment with DM? Don't let life pass you by." And it's like, don't effing bring this into that. That's like when everyone's like, "Oh, if, you know, live every day like it's your last." Like, no one does that. And don't make Kara feel bad about this because of DM. Like, nobody supported and supports DM's memory than Kara. Yeah. So that pissed me off that Abe, like, supported that sentiment.
Yeah, that's lame. That's uncool.
And then he continued to say over the next few days, "I hope it encouraged all the challenge fans to send positive and encouraging tweets to Kara. Great girl, and she kindness goes a long way." Smiley face. Then January 30th, because I was not following this story for the past week, he tweets, "Sushi? ? At Cara Maria MTV. Wink face." What?
Curious what happens on the reunion.
Now we'll wrap this up. with a question from Edward Morris. Who would you rather see Abram do an X's with, Cara Maria or Coral? And Edward's a big Coral fan, so he said the correct answer is Coral.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but the more relevant answer is Cara. So, Cara.
Yeah, I mean, this is fresh. Like, Coral and Abe have absolutely nothing to show for their relationship in terms of drama. And, like, sure, bring Coral back, whatever. Cara and Abe together would be out of control.
It would be dynamic. Dynamic.
My last thing before I shut up and let you talk about how much I'm whooping your ass in fantasy is the 5-star reviews. I waited till the end for this because I knew that this would be a long show. And so if anyone wants to turn it off now, we did our best. Quick note, we are always happy to read all comments on Twitter, reviews, comments on the show page, positive or negative. Okay, great. There was one non-5-star review this week that said we were bribing people to give 5-star reviews. So I want to thank Siskel2525, who gave us a negative review, for the feedback, because I know if somebody writes something, it's not just one person's opinion. So thank you for bringing this to my attention. I want to address it. I think you and I, Brian, are pretty responsive on Twitter and in the comments and all that. But, like, we can't respond to iTunes reviews, and it kills me because I totally want to. And as far as a bribe, like, we have absolutely nothing to offer except what we already offer, which is our time. And we do the podcast and no one could listen to it. And, you know, we did our best. But when you guys, the listeners, if you're there, are you there, listeners? It's me, Allie. When we put ourselves out there to everyone and, like, I can't even believe that one person, let alone as many people as they do, takes it upon themselves, takes their time to make the effort to leave a review for us and, like, gets what we're about, likes the show, is having fun with it, is enjoying it. Like, that, I can't tell you how awesome of a feeling that is. And it's amazing and it's really special. And I want to say thank you. So there's no bribe. Don't leave us a review. Leave us your 1-star reviews. We read them and we think about them and we care about them too. But I'm sorry if you're going to stop listening to the show, because I'm going to continue to thank the people who give us 5-star reviews, because it really does mean a lot. So Ray 3521581, Kasten Swedenberg, Stephen Hooker, Lolaye, KPB 1216, Racheron is a treat. Thank you most sincerely. It's awesome. And for anyone who wants to leave any kind of review or comment, you can always find us on Twitter or in the comments of the show. Or you can leave your reviews at robisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. They mean a lot.
Just to add to that, absolutely that. There's no, because like you said, there's no way on iTunes where we can acknowledge them. So if I left a comment on someone's podcast, I would want to know that they even saw it. We can't like it. We can't comment. So this is the only forum where we can acknowledge it. So yeah, well, that's not going to stop. So we just want to thank everyone who reviews.
Now I'm going to go get like a throat lozenge and shut the hell up.
Yeah. Quickly, fantasy scores. This is basically over. You are going to win. You're up 12:45 to 8:40. The only points this week were just Mitch and Corey winning the challenge, Cara and Jamie winning elimination. And I gave Cara and Jamie points for fighting during the challenge, and then everyone else who survived.
And who's, I have Mitch and Corey, right?
You have Mitch and Corey.
I have,
and you have
Cara,
Anissa, Brianna, and Cara. And I only have Jamie, Jenna, and Rihanna. So, I'm pretty sure mathematically I am fucked.
All right, I'm gonna dance my way out of this. That's all I got.
You can subscribe to our podcast, robisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute. And I can follow you
at LashTweets.
Only a couple more episodes left. We'll be back next week. So until then, have a good one.